from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Landfill, I know how the hell this. I know how to say Mitch Tischler. Have I been mispronouncing Tischler?
Call Mitch Tickler.
Yeah, I forget what you were saying, but you weren't saying that right.
Really? Maybe the heat getting to me. B-Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Liddell Willingham alongside the DOC, Rick Doc Walker, as we take you up to 2 o'clock before we head things over to Grant and Danny. They're live out on location at Nats Park for the debut of 2023 number 2 overall pick, Dylan Cruz. He is set to make his big league debut tonight against the Juan Soto in the New York Yankees. Juan Soto hit the hell out of the baseball this year. So, as I think Byron Kerr said it earlier in the update, Mike Rizzo, a flair for the dramatics, having Cruz debut against Juan Soto in the Yankees, definitely something to keep an eye on and something to look forward to. I don't know what the weather forecast is looking like for the debut of our pal Dylan Cruz here tonight, but we're live out on location here at TPC Potomac for the Contractors Against Cancer golf scramble, and it's heavy cloud coverage. It looks like some rain is in the area. So hopefully
it's in the area.
Our pal Dylan Cruz tonight. Joining us right now on the BetQL guest hotline is our pal Mitch Tischler, one half of the Beltway Football Podcast. Give him a follow on the old X app at Mitch_Tischler. Mitch, what's going on, my brother? How you feeling?
Well, I'm just happy you're pronouncing my name correctly.
Mitch, that was the whole thing. Like, brother, what was I saying? Was I not enunciating? Look, we've been out here for a couple hours now. It was hot. You know I am an enunciating savant. What did I say? Did I say Mitch Tickler?
I got to be honest. I didn't really hear it. I was just giving you a hard time, but I'll get back.
Appreciate you giving us some time, my man. I actually got to ask you about a non-football-related item before we get into the football. I was listening to you and JP on the way in. What was the deal getting out of the stadium last night, my dude?
So JP got stuck behind the Patriots caravan, you know, with the escort and whatnot. So just, you know, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. It's late. It's the third preseason game. Everyone's trying to get home. And all of a sudden, you're waiting on the Patriots to get to wherever the heck they're going.
Yeah, how the times have changed. Always enjoy listening to you all whenever I get a chance to. I want to ask you about the big game last night. Washington picks up the first win of the Dan Quinn era. Mitch, in your perspective, who helped themselves the most last night with their performance?
I got to be honest. I think it was probably Martavis Bryant. I loved what I thought of him yesterday. You know, in two games in Washington, he's got three PI calls. He's making defenders, you know, be concerned about what they're doing with him. Obviously, he had the touchdown catch, but I thought what was more impressive was on the Wiley touchdown run. He had a great steal block to get Wiley to the edge, and that dude celebrated more for that block and that touchdown than he did for the one that he caught himself. I think for a coaching staff and a front office that's trying to set a tone in the room, you know, we've talked about, you know, some of those veterans and Zach Ertz and, you know, Austin Eckler and those folks coming in and helping out. I think Martavis Bryant can be another kind of tone setter as a veteran for them. And as a sixth receiver, I think he gives you kind of something a little bit different than anyone else on the roster. So that could be an interesting little twist that came up last night.
Every house has to have doorknobs and got to have window trim, but the foundation, the big fellas up front, Chris Paul's putting a lot of minutes, and he looks like, I mean, he's fighting, he's competing, and he's playing a multitude of positions. Is that J.B. Finley?
This is so fitting that as soon as Mitch gets on,
Mitch Tischler is on
J.P. finally brings his way around to the tent.
By, and he's a celebrity. Oh, wow, you brought good fruit. Oh, thank you, brother. He just brought his boy a stick. And
so do I sound like an ungrateful brat for saying, where's my present?
You don't smoke. You're too young to smoke. Yeah.
And no, I don't. I don't smoke cigars.
And you're on a diet, so that's okay. Yeah. And we don't want to feed him.
I don't want to interrupt Mitch's hit. I'll come back.
We've been waiting for you all damn day. Yeah, we've been talking about you.
Teed off on the total other side. Has Mitch been through here?
No.
He might be doing his own thing.
Yeah, he's doing his own thing. He might even be on the course anymore. knowing him.
They just kicked us off.
Because of the rain?
Yeah, they say lightning.
Yeah, whenever the horn blows, you're cooked.
Yeah. Tischler was just asking about you and talking about last night. And how you were a bit of a distraction last night.
I was a distraction. How yeah. so?
Hijacked the first 20 minutes of the pod talking about a story.
The motorcade?
I did not say you were a distraction.
Doc is a pro at twisting things. Yeah. We all know that. There's
Doc's also a pro at getting twisted.
I beg your pardon.
Has anybody been cut? I haven't had my phone. I missed anything?
You have not?
No,
wow.
No cuts yet.
No, okay. We don't.
The hell with the cigar you were trying to bring me. Thank you. I just got a canned water bottle. I've never had anything like it before.
A lot of things.
Water in a can.
Linnell's easily impressed.
Water in a can.
I know. And she drank more water. Yeah.
Mitch Doc was getting into the offensive line. There's one guy that I've been really impressed with since he's made the transition. I thought Chris Paul has been decent playing right tackle. I don't know what type of shot he has to make this team. What did you think about his performance last night and where he stands in terms of making this 53?
Right tackle, right guard, left guard. He's all over.
I think that position flex is something that's going to help him out. I actually have him as my ninth alignment on this roster. So I think that I don't know that you want him starting or really playing a ton of tackle, but I think in a pinch he's shown a little bit better out there than maybe Trent Scott and some of the other guys. So between the fact that you can play him out there on the right side, he obviously played left in college. We've seen him at guard on both sides. He has a lot of different ways that he can help out. And if you're going to be that kind of one of the last guys on the roster, you're going to have to be able to be flexible and do a lot of different things. So I have Chris Paul as my ninth guy.
For me, I mean, what I've been saying all along with this is that whatever this roster looks like tomorrow at 4 o'clock, I think it's going to look so dramatically different. Yeah. I think if you are the end of any position group tomorrow afternoon, that is hardly a spot on week one at Tampa.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. In 10 days, this roster's going to – because we're going to be harvesting. That's what happens to bottom-dweller roster. You're going to get better because they're going to release people that are better than the people that we've been carrying. That's why you were in last place.
I think we're second in the waiver order, so I think that should help you out as well when it comes to scooping up guys. Go ahead, Mitch.
I think as we get through like the consternation of who the back end of the roster guys are going to be, like you guys are talking about, you got to remember this is a roster that is still building. And 48 had a tweet. Sam 48 from the Post had a tweet earlier today. The last two post-cut day claims were Timon Paris and Samaje Perine. In 2020 and 2019. We're not talking about lots of teams are picking off players.
Is that the guy from The Lion King? The Warthog?
Timon and Pumbaa, baby. You know it.
Come on, man. That's you and JP. You all are Timon and Pumbaa.
You should beat him up for that, Mitch.
Mitch, I want to ask you and JP, if you got time for us, JP, about the cornerback spot. The numbers game there is going to be interesting. I think they go five corners instead of six because of Quan Martin's ability to shift there in a pinch as well. I've said it. I don't believe that the two starting outside corners in Benjamin St. Juice and Emmanuel Forbes, I don't believe those two are two starting NFL corners. I worry about the top of the roster at that position. And then the bottom of it gets interesting as well. I've been pretty high on Tariq Castro-Fields. I think Chig Anuzium made a couple of plays last night. How do you guys think the bottom of the cornerback depth chart shapes out? And do you think they're maybe poaching at that position as well?
Yeah, I definitely think that's the position they're going to be looking at. I also think Michael Davis is probably going to be your starting corner along with St. Juice. So I think, Noah Igbinoghene, I think, is an interesting, player a little bit because I think he brings you a little, veteran leadership to that group. And been
because
there,
he can play inside, outside, I think that helps him a lot as well.
Yeah, I think Castro Fields is kind of your last corner that makes the roster, but I don't think that necessarily means that they're done looking for help there.
Can I ask a question of Doc? Doc, did you notice that I only rolled up here with one can of beer and B. Mitch rolled up with two cans
double
of beer?
Fisted
well,
up.
B. Mitch, first of all.
I'm just saying. I'm just wondering if you noticed that, Doc.
As a matter of fact, you rolled up here with one can of High Noon.
That's
like,
true.
Like my daughter would.
Pineapple.
And it's you and Jeff are drinking High Noon.
Can we talk about Jeff's gear just while we're here? Jeff's wearing some fake-ass gold sunglasses. like he's Suge Knight with a red shirt. Like, when Chris Russell's wearing red like that, it's because we know what happened. I don't know what look Jeff's going for.
I look good, man. That's all that matters.
You look like That's Michael Jordan.
I look good.
What is the real count of gold in those shades, B?
1%.
Hey, I learned some good advice. Sometimes you got to fake it till you make it. You know how many compliments I got on these glasses today?
They were lying, dog.
I'm going to keep them on.
It's like
you can say. I'm going to keep it on.
It's cloudy. They're making us go inside. You can
not,
take
it. Just got cloudy.
He got on sunglasses.
It's the stuff I'm scared of.
I'm surprised you're out here, dude.
Well, you know, I was hanging out with a man, you know, and he's a presenting sponsor, so, you know.
We'll do whatever you want then, sir.
We got to make sure.
How many times have you used his ball? A lot, yeah.
They have played B's ball way more than my group has played mine. I promise you that.
Let me tell you something. B. Mitch can play. He can play golf.
B can play. You should start giving him brown liquor. He plays even better.
He did mention that.
Yeah. He's not sipping. Doc, he's holding two beers.
Double fisted up.
If you're from Louisiana, beer is basically Powerade.
With B. Mitch on our team, we were the favorites coming in.
Where are you now?
6 under. We're all right.
Oh, all right. My group's at 5, sir, and we've missed a ton of real birdie chances. I'm just saying.
He's rolled them over the edge like 5 times.
I have not made a putt yet, Brian. But my one of the guys in my group on – is 14 the drivable par 4? Is 14 the drivable par 4 or 15?
We didn't get there.
Okay. Whatever it is. Dude, one guy drove it, and then this other dude hit a 60, 65 footer to drain it for Eagle. We were hype at that moment. Yeah, it was. I mean, that's how we got to 5. Yeah, we missed a lot of putts, dude.
Yeah,
we missed a lot of putts.
Yeah, look.
Here, I'll give
a little bit, Mitch. Mitch Tisler is still on the line.
Oh yeah, sorry, Mitchell.
Of the Beltway Football Podcast. We talked about
I'm good. I'm going this from far.
It's story time with JP and B. Mitch. So one other thing, Mitch, one other position group I wanted to get into with you is safety. I know going into last night, it really seemed like it was Derek Forrest versus Jeremy Reeves fighting for the final safety spot on this roster. What did you think of the performance of those two guys, and who do you think has the edge when it comes to the 53?
Yeah, I think when you got to talk about that group, I think it's going to be interesting what they do with Jeremy Reeves because, you know, we love him as a player and as a person, and he's gone through a whole lot of stuff. But, you know, a lot of his value was on special teams. And with the change in the kickoff and kick return, you know, rules, I think that alters it a little bit. And I don't know that, you know, I wonder where his value is quite as high with some of these changes. And I think between Derek Forrest's youth and, honestly, you know, you go back to that rookie season, those last 6 games, he was a turnover machine, which you know is something that you know, Joe Witt and Dan Quinn value. I think Derek Forrest is there, and Tyler Owens is your other, you know, safety that's going to kind of sneak on the backside of this roster because both his specials and what he's been able to do on the field there. So it's going to be an interesting group. I mean, I think the secondary as a whole, there's a lot of, you know, multi-position guys. There's going to be a fair number of three safety sets, so you might only have 2 corners on the field at a time. It'll be interesting to see kind of how they play through this. And as we talk about the secondary, I think, you know, and the corners and whatnot, I think Mikey Thainer still is going to be interesting because we know how good he is in the slot, but I think they might try and play him outside in 2-corner rotations and be out there as well.
Man, not to give away too many state secrets. I mean, there was one look that they were running where they had 1 corner on the field. So it would be interesting to see how they ultimately play it. Mitch, appreciate you giving us some time as always.
Thanks, big fella.
Hey, absolutely. Guys, throw up the video on the stream. I want to see B-Mitch chugging this.
because of the Wi-Fi situation, we don't have the stream going. I think we're currently, they're efforting to get us inside because of a little bit of weather. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, go around the NFL one more time. Look at some of the top storylines in the NFL as we get geared up for week one of the regular season. Make sure you keep it locked on the Fan all day long as we broadcast. Have the debut of number 2 overall pick, Dylan Cruz. Grant and Danny broadcasting live from Nats Park starting at 2 p.m. We'll be back soon here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Be Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Youngest in Charge Movement, Linnell Willingham alongside the DOC, Rick Doc Walker, as we take you up to 2 o'clock. Grant and Danny broadcasting live out from Nats Park for the debut of number 2 overall pick from a season ago, Dylan Cruz. Make sure you keep it locked on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube live stream coming up at 3:35 batting practice for Dylan Cruz. And the Nats going to be aired live on the YouTube page. So a real cool thing to stick around for if you're checking us out on the YouTube stream here this afternoon. Doc, we just got off the phone with our pal Mitch on all things Burgundy and Gold. On the heels of their preseason finale last night against the New England Patriots. We've pretty much covered every angle of it from Washington's perspective. I thought the dynamic going into last night was really interesting based off of what we had discussed locally throughout the spring and really ever since we found out we had that number 2 overall pick. This market was as split as I've ever seen it. It felt like, you know, politics when it came to choosing the quarterback. Here for Washington, there was a contingent of folks that were really high on Drake May and wanted him to be the guy here in D.C. There was a contingent of folks that were really high on Jaden Daniels. Going into the preseason finale, one guy fighting for a starting job with the journeyman backup and the other one has clearly solidified himself as the week one starter. Does that dynamic interest you at all? And do you think there are folks that are looking at what Drake May did last night and going, ah, what could have been?
I think you do look at it and go, good for Drake.
Good for Drake.
Because there were
good.
More doubters on Drake's side. And I think answer to those.
Yeah.
Kobe, in my opinion, is better than both of them right now because of his experience.
Better.
Now, in the long run, I'd bet on Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
But again, I would have been pleased had my guy played and did what they did. Had just gone out right. and showed. Satisfied the home tease the home audience came out of it, but then again, if he gets a free runner and got a bad bump shoulder, then what am I gonna say?
They are ticked,
so you can't have it both. Inspired by the effort was up front, all 8 or 9 or 10 of them that played,
That was their starting. The center was
out. And the guard that was there. They had two people that was out, and four that didn't look like it.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
So we didn't look that bad.
Right.
So, kind of like, and I thought we scored them. I don't know if we scored them. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I don't know if we beat. I don't know who you beat.
Well, the first half was a snooze fest. Anybody that actually watched the full 60 minutes like a psychopath like I did. I mean,
I love the pressure we applied.
Yeah.
We didn't get home.
Right.
But we are
Mitch and Finley here with you on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham alongside the DOC, Rick Doc Walker, as we're out here live on location at TPC Potomac for the Contractors Against Cancer Scramble Golf Tournament. A couple of big-time names playing in this, including some guy named Mitchell, Brian, and Finley, JP, our own playing in this. We'll see if the fellas stop by here throughout the program. Doc, we were talking about it. The preseason finale last night for the Washington Commanders. A lot of guys stood out. A lot of guys helped themselves. Washington ultimately 20-10 winners, their first win in the Dan Quinn era. Do we get to say that? And I know it's just preseason, but technically we got our first win in the books for the Dan Quinn era. A lot of work to do, though, between now and 4 o'clock Eastern time tomorrow, when all rosters across the National Football League have to be trimmed down to 53. We were talking about it in the open, Doc. Based on where this team is and the way that they looked last night and how many open jobs there are, that's just not from my vantage point. The head coach said that before the game and last week. You talked about poaching other teams' rosters. The Jets, with Robert Saleh, they understand that their edge rusher spot, their team that's going to get poached. They've got a bevy of different guys on the edge that can help folks. I'm ready for us to be the team that people want to poach from, and I think this is the first year of trying to get yourself to become that. We talked about some guys that stood out. This is always the most painful part because, and I didn't mean to sound cruel last night when I said it. I said it like this. Look, guys going into this have to give it everything you got, because if you don't, you could be flipping burgers this time next week. That's just the reality of the situation. But in terms of some guys that hurt themselves, I look at the tight end spot, and I know you know a little bit about the tight end position. Cole Turner, to me, the fact that they dressed him told me everything I needed to know. He's worked with the ones during camp. He's worked with the twos during camp. Mm-hmm. He's worked with the threes. He had a couple of drops in this one. It's in some really untimely spots, but then he also had the big 25-yard gain mm-hmm. late in the game. Based off of what you saw from him last night, best gut feel on whether or not he makes this roster or not?
Well, it doesn't look good for him based on how others have stepped up. Bates, to me, is a sledgehammer. I know he can help me on the edge and catch it. We've got two other locks. When the infant comes in and is better than all of them,
yeah.
That's that what you're looking for is a prize bull, somebody we can count on. We thought it was Turner. It's just too much speculation. And at this point now, results are all that matter. And the good news is that you've got at least three guys I think you can win with.
Yeah, talking about the rookie Ben Sinnott out of K-State.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about Zach Ertz, the veteran who, to the surprise of many, is going to be featured early and often in this Washington Commanders offense mm-hmm. during the regular season. And then I heard you dub him this first, so I give you your credit. The best run blocking tight end in the National Football League, John Bates, I think is going to be huge for this group as well. The one thing that I look at tight end and why I do ultimately think Cole makes this team, I think they want to keep four. Now, whether they think they can go out and poach someone from someone else's roster that's better than Cole Turner is the question that I think now remains for Cliff Kingsbury and company. But with all of the 12 and 13 personnel that we've seen during camp and the three preseason games, tight end clearly a position they've got some emphasis on. And I think when you're trying to establish who you are identity-wise, I think the tight end position is going to be huge for that, especially when you've got a young quarterback. I said I wanted to put it on a T-shirt, Doc. I think it's going to be exotic smash-mouth football in terms of what Cliff Kingsbury and company are going to show during the regular season. Going into last night, Colson Yankoff, Cole Turner, the two dudes that I were looking at, I don't know if either of them did enough to help themselves make this roster.
Well, one thing I do agree with in what you said, and I've heard you in it with the Rooster, the personality of this team, when you start hearing a staff discuss wide receivers blocking.
Yeah, yes.
That's a key indicator that a guy like Turner could end up being, like Clint Didier, a big X, a dual threat,
yeah.
A guy you can go in or out and it's going to help you. They run a lot of hitches, a lot of quick screens, and one block, and you can get somebody free. That's the thing I think they're going to emphasize. The beauty is that we don't know, and that's what Kingsbury has going for him. He's perceived as a gadget guy, but deep down inside, right. He's going to run it.
He has to.
He's got, yeah, and I think he knows with Jaden, because Jaden gets rid of the ball so quick. He's not a liability in the pocket. He's really not. And that run threat, we could flip the script on people if we can just get that Fab Five up front to just avoid the free runner. You don't have to be the greatest, but you cannot do what happened to Jacoby last night, have a free runner, because that gets anybody hurt.
For sure. And I think, speaking of this offensive line and the identity of the football team, that's where the numbers game gets interesting to me. We saw a lot of different guys cross-training at guard and tackle, cross-training at center and guard. And it isn't the position flex term that all of you are scoring over from the past several years with Riverboat, or Titanic, as I like to call him. Excuse me.
Yeah, Titanic.
I just think it's going to be real interesting come cutdown day, because we know who we don't know who the starting five is going to be. I think there's an assumption, if we could get Brandon Coleman back, that would ideally be your left tackle. I think in an ideal world, Cornelius Lucas is your right tackle. But we still don't know who the starters are going to be,
right,
which makes projecting these backups and who makes the roster
makes
on the offensive line that much more difficult.
Big fella, light on his feet, can play guard or tackle, right or left. So to me, if he was a chip, invest in him.
Yeah. For sure.
So I think he's really helped himself and grown into it. I'm not in a panic over our left side, not at all, because the last group refused to help scheme those guys up and give them help and chips. This group, Kingsbury, they'll do that. You can help protect simply through schemes. They just refused to do it with the last group. And, the quarterback held the ball too damn long.
Well, I think that's going to be the thing.
We're back. Had a little bit of technical difficulties out here at TPC Potomac for the Contractors Against Cancer Scramble Golf Tournament, DOC. Rick Doc Walker alongside myself, the youngest in charge, Lynnell Willingham. One final segment coming up for you on the other side of this break before we hand things over to Grant and Danny. They'll be live out at Nats Park all show long. It's a year off the day. Number two overall pick from last year's draft class. Pete Mitchell, Philly, 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the youngest in charge movement, Lynnell Willingham, alongside the DOC, Rick Doc Walker. We are out live on location at TPC Potomac for the Contractors Against Cancer Scramble Golf Tournament. We got to hear from our own J.P. Finley and Brian Mitchell a moment ago. Someone just tweeted that we're having some technical difficulties. Someone just tweeted that sounded like AI took over the show for a second. Don't scare me like that again. We won't scare you like that again ever before.
Well, heavy metal shout out and to Jeffrey Walker, our guys scrambling in the rain, fighting off lightning to reset this thing up inside. Great job.
Yeah, tremendous job.
Yeah.
Tremendous job. One thing, maybe this is more of a Jeff item than a Doc Walker item. Maybe this is a different Walker item. Yeah. There is a famous TikTok food reviewer, Keith Lee, is in the DMV, and he left a $4,000 tip yesterday at Rooted Rotisserie, black-owned rotisserie spot. I don't know if it's in D.C. or in Virginia. It may be right along the border. People were asking me where he should go in terms of, like, local mom-and-pop joints. Where should he go?
Rum and Rooster.
Keith and Sons? I'm not familiar.
He's downtown?
He's supposed to be. He's at the DMV. I would think. I got a couple of friends.
We got to go Rum and Rooster.
Rum and Rooster? I mean, Rum and Rooster's everywhere.
The last time we were down at Live Shot, the last time we were in D.C.,
was really there's a couple of interesting places he can go. I got some folks out on my end of the world.
Check?
Huh? How big was his check?
Yeah.
To tip $4,000?
Yeah.
I mean, he's famous on TikTok.
Oh, okay.
So he's
okay.
He's at least one of the people respectably making money on TikTok. Because there's a couple of people that you monetize based off how many people view your stuff. So people are doing anything to get views. And when I say anything, I mean anything. There's one guy that runs into grocery stores Jeff, you probably know who I'm talking about, pretending to be the motivational speaker. He wears like a Timberland and a New Balance, and he pours milk on his head and says, they don't want you to succeed. They don't, just being a clown. At first, when he first burst onto the scene, he was getting 2 million views a post. But now people realize he's just being ignorant. So people stop messing with him, but he monetized off of it. JP Flame's daughter on the Junkies is one of the biggest food critics on TikTok. She monetizes monthly off of TikTok.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Okay. They know the Flames know how to make their money.
Yeah. No, it's good for you. I will admit.
You on
TikTok. I view it. No, I view it.
It's entertaining.
Oh, yeah. My son
people are
keeps
crazy.
Telling me 3 years, I think 2.5 years, 3 years ago. And eventually, yeah, there are the moment. If you have free time, I think you allocate. You say, I got a few, some, as they say, I got time to kill. Then you can get caught up. You can get caught up.
Yeah, for sure. It's you know, interesting.
Jeff Walker will appreciate this. Today is the first day I can recall in a long while we've had the youngest in charge movement together. Because Toby's been doing the updates.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so it's really good to get the power of the youth movement.
A couple of updates on some cuts around the National Football League. The Cowboys have begun their cut process. The reason I'm interested in their
because
cuts. No, they didn't.
Oh, okay.
They didn't cut Zeke. They need to. That's what I'm saying. I didn't mention that when we were talking about the Cowboys earlier. How in the hell is anybody supposed to take y'all serious with Ezekiel Elliott as your starting running back? Why should I fear you? Why should they be taken seriously?
I still respect him, and he's a gamer. I mean, I know he don't look like it.
Yeah.
But I bet on him.
Tell him put his whole damn jersey on.
He can't.
You can't run around with your belly out.
He can't do that anymore. That day's over.
But I wanted to pay attention to a certain cut here. We mentioned how Washington would be churning the bottom of the depth chart at a couple of different positions.
Mm-hmm.
Defensive back, specifically corner, is an area that they'll be looking at. Because Washington has Dallas's former defensive coordinator and former pass game coordinator and Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr., I'm thinking any defensive back that was drafted during their time there, they may have interest in bringing here. DB Eric Scott Jr., 6th-round pick last year of the Dallas Cowboys, cut. Curious to see if Washington gives a guy like him a look. We were talking about it earlier, like, and JP and B. Mitch mentioned it when they joined us, Doc, and you hit it on the head to start the show. This roster, tomorrow means nothing. Tomorrow, 4 o'clock, means diddly-poo, because between now and when does practice week start? Wednesday? Tuesday? When that starts, this you may have 5, 6, 7, 8 new dudes, and based on the lack of depth at some key spots on this team, I can sure as hell see them bringing in some other guys, especially running back. Adam Peters coming from San Francisco, they just cut Matt Breida.
Mm-hmm.
Do you bring Matt Breida in? Would you rather have Breida as your third down back or Michael Wiley? Like that's.
Yeah, but that's the fun part is that realtors will be circling around here like sharks, you know, with seals in the water. Because this is how you flip your team around. This is how you get better economically. If you don't have a ton of money to throw at something, because now people are going to get rid of people they'd like to keep.
Yeah.
And you got a chance because of where they are in the pecking order of being able to have rights. Got to take advantage of it.
Yeah. One thing we didn't touch on quickly that me and you always get a kick out of talking about here recently, I've been saying it during your favorite program, Win Back Wednesday. Over on the Team 980.
Absolutely.
Me and Chris Russell have had some pretty heated debates about the WNBA, and I took it a step further looking at how they can continue to capitalize economically. Look at the way the weather works. Sun's shining now all of a sudden.
Yeah.
But in terms of their popularity, I think the Olympic break helped some of the players. Obviously, Caitlin Clark has come out of the gate swinging.
She needed it.
But I think the popularity of the sport, I thought the Olympic break couldn't have come at a worse time for them when they're at the peak of their powers. Everyone's engaged and interested, and then you go on a month and a half hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to know what the numbers look like coming back from the Olympic break and whether or not they're able to sustain that. Because I'm of the belief now, with the popularity that they have now, and then you're going to get Paige Beckers coming in, you're going to get the girl out at USC, Juju Watkins, who I think is going to be better than Caitlin Clark.
Man.
You now are continuing to see more young stars transitioning into the game.
Let me stop you for 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
People my age need young people to explain when they make these crazy statements.
What?
Be better at what?
You mean better scoring. Player?
Play, yeah.
Score?
Everything.
Or attraction to the game?
All three.
You think she can be better at the box office?
She's no already box office. She's a freshman. Doc averaged 30 last year.
No, better box office than Caitlin Clark.
Think about why we're enamored with Caitlin Clark. She broke the scoring record,
right.
I think, which in reality ain't really the scoring record because yeah. Pete didn't have a damn three-point line.
I'm just trying to get you to back up what you said.
But, no, she has already outperformed what Caitlin Clark did during her freshman season. The reason I don't think she'll break
that.
The reason I don't think she'll ultimately get the scoring record, Caitlin Clark came up in the COVID era and got an extra year. So she played 5 years of college basketball.
Good
so point. I think Juju may come up short, but she's going to be damn close.
Oh, she's a monster.
In terms of the way she
plays,
man. I ain't
mad at her, but
she,
the impact, the social economic impact.
She's in Cali, though.
I don't care where she's at. This woman
she's
did
already,
it from Iowa.
Right, but I'm saying Juju's got the advantage because she's playing already in an area that's already going to put her under the microscope because of what basketball means.
Yeah, but she's not the first one to do that.
In that area.
Andy Myers did it. Myers did it. Everybody's done it, but nobody's had the social economic impact of Caitlin Clark.
For sure.
Ever.
I'll give you that.
You're going to eat them words.
We'll see.
And a donut.
Thank you. To Mitch Tisler, joining the program. Big thank you to TPC Potomac hosting us out here today. Keep it locked. Grant and Danny coming up next live from Nats Park as they get you geared up for the debut of number 2 overall pick, Dylan Cruz. Keep it locked on 106.7 The Fan all afternoon long as Grant and Danny will broadcast live. Then Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler on the call starting at 6:30. That's going to do it here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.